This is Radio Woking.
Okay, here we go with the last hour of Lara on Sunday, and we've probably set a record already for the most people you can get in one room.
Yes, we have the Horsell Scouts and Guides in. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
There you go. They're in fine voice, which is good because we're on the radio.
And they are in to talk about the brilliant May Fair that's going to be happening Monday.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Are you ready for it?
We will be.
We'll talk more and we'll find out all about the scouts and the guides in the community as well.
As they're going to be with us for the next hour as well. I'm going to try and get my head around the different ways and get the scouts and guides work and the different badges and everything else going on. But they have started strong because we asked them for a request and they've chosen this by the Killers. It's Mr. Brightside.
Yes, we have a very busy studio, which is really cool this morning, because the May Fair is happening tomorrow, put together by the Horsell Scouts and Guides. And from the Horsell Scouts and Guides, we have Sophie. Hi, Sophie.
Hey.
Hi, I have Jess.
Hi.
Hi, Jess. Rebecca.
Hi.
And the leaders from the Horsell Scouts and Guides. We've got Ian.
Hi.
And we've got Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well done for sort of squeezing into this small space.
Yes.
I mean, it's very cosy, wouldn't you say? Yeah. You guys been on the radio before at all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
Okay.
Someone said yes.
Someone said yes. We want to know. What were you on before?
I was at Cub Jam and I was on the Cub Jam radio.
Oh, look at you. Professional in the room.
Yeah, they could say you've been on Radio Woking. What if there's a badge you can get for being on the radio? The first entertainer badge or
what you're gonna learn by the end of this interview, everyone, is John really wants a scout badge.
I've got plenty. I was in the scouts myself, actually. I went to the 8th Woking, which is the one at
But you still Trinity want a new one.
Well, yeah, I dug out my old scout uniform and it doesn't fit anymore, unfortunately. It was many years ago. I've grown a bit since then.
Okay, and actually, the scouts and guides have changed a lot since then as well.
Yes, I mean, the main thing, actually, Sarah and Steve, about the scouts and the guides, you know, in my day, you had boy scouts, you had girl guides, but now it's all very different, isn't it? It's, you know, you can have girl scouts. Can you have boy guides as well? Or?
No, guides is still very much just a girl, a thing purely for girls.
Okay.
It's a safe space for girls to come and express themselves and do lots of different activities. But yeah, no, as you say, scouts is now both sexes.
Okay. So what's the difference in between the scouts and the guides if you know, both sexes are allowed in? What's the...
That's a very good question. I think, to be fair, there's not really much difference. So the guides will still do what the scouts do. So it all revolves around camping, core skills that scouts used to do. So having fun outside, learning new skills, and that's done through both groups as well. So there's no real major differences, except for that the guides is purely for females.
Okay, and it's very, very different to back in my day. Were you ever in the scouts or the
family? I briefly tried, but I went on a couple of exercises and got the wheels stuck down holes and things and it got stuck in mud, and I kind of said before they did, and I think they would have been happy for me to stay, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I think I went, maybe this isn't for me.
And I think things are much more...
I have to just keep buying new wheels.
And I think many of us may have memories of scouting and guiding in days gone by, but, you know, it seems, as we say, different now. It seems very much more inclusive as well, which is really good. So the May Fair then is happening tomorrow on the
there's a very good picture on the front of the Woking News and Mail, by the way.
You guys are on the front page of the local newspaper. I mean, that's really cool. Or some of your fellow scouts and guides there. So the May Fair, tell us what's who wants to tell me about what's happening for the May Fair then? Yeah, okay. What's happening for the May Fair then?
So at the May Fair, there's going to be a lot of stalls and activities, and the main attraction is Dangerous Steve, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people are most excited about.
Mm.
What does Dangerous Steve do?
He does like fire breathing and like motorbike skills.
Also, he's properly named then, because they are dangerous.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And obviously, don't try this at home. You're sort of telling people
yes,
that as well.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to try it. Stay away from the motorbike. Don't go doing that.
And the fire eating as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And what else is happening then? Sophie, maybe you want to tell us a bit about what else is happening.
We're doing Jolly Jars and we're basically having a massive bouncy castle.
Oh, yes.
And like lots of food and games in the main arena.
My advice to you, because I think John and I are going to try and pop down, keep John from the bouncy castle.
Yeah, is that for young people only? Yeah. That could be awkward.
We can do you a special session if you
want. Oh, yeah, a special session on the bouncing castle. Adults on the bouncing castle. Yeah. Thank you. That's okay. And Rebecca, tell us, this is raising money for the Scouts and Guides in Horsall. How's the money spent? What sort of things would the money be used for?
Like, the main thing that the money is used for is like the upkeep of the Scouts and Guides headquarters, because a lot of people use it, like guides and scouts, and I'm not sure if. Like, and cubs. So it needs to be well looked after.
Yes.
That's where the money goes to.
Okay, so I mean, I know you've had a big sort of refurbishment of the centre in Horsall and everything. So, I guess sort of generally giving you the opportunities and, you know, you have a pot of money you can spend on all the activities and all the facilities and things that you need as a scout, then. So
yeah.
It's really cool.
Did you all get a say in what was in the refurbishment?
I think we all had a fair input, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a big discussion between Woking Borough Council and Horsall Scouts and Guides, and the building was basically put together by the Scouts and the Guides, saying this is what we need, and this is what we would like it to have, and a lot of fundraising went into that to actually get the funds to build the building itself.
So what was on the list then, what was needed?
So we needed we've got two big halls, which means that at least two units can be meeting at any one time. We've got a lovely big kitchen, which means that if any of the units want to do cooking, we can. We've got stores for all our camp equipment. And then when we used to have kayaks as well, so one of the stores is outside was for the kayaks as well, but we've now managed to fill it with other things as well. We've got lots of equipment, which we're really lucky.
And that packing must be interesting.
Indeed.
No. But you all have a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So they're all nodding on radio. Yes. This is going well.
So we've got two guides and we've got a Girl Scout. This is something that maybe we've talked about this before, but, you know, maybe people know that girls can be in the Scouts now. So what's it like, then, first of all, being a Girl Scout, then?
I think it feels weird because not that many girls are actually in Scouts. So, like, most girls are normally outnumbered by the boys, but we do get along and we do make friends and,
I'm just wondering how different it will be being in sort of a mixed group, because traditionally, you know, you had the girl guys, the boy scouts, it was like the girls club and the boys club. You sort of fit in. And why did you decide to go down the route of going into scouts rather than going to guides for you?
I think it's because my parents got into scouts, where I was like, I kind of want to have a go at scouting. I've just ended up being like going to scouts, and I think been in the movement for just nearly 10 years ish.
Oh, wow.
So,
And over those 10 years, you've obviously learnt earned a lot of badges, and you've completed the set of badges,
yeah,
I believe?
Yeah, I've now completed my Chief Scout Gold.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It feels really, really nice, because like, now I know that I don't have any more badges for my mum down to sew on.
Your mum probably put them
on. Your mum to sew them on.
Yeah, my mum's sewn on every single one of them,
wow.
So I think my mum's now.
Yeah. Sore fingers from doing all that sewing and stuff. Yeah,
it's okay. Jessie's mum is actually a scout leader as well.
Yeah.
She's my wife. Sews on all my badges.
Oh,
as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so
how many badges are there then? do we know? That's a question.
That's a very big question. Yes. No, we'd have to count them up.
Do you want to have a minute to think? Because I can play some ads and play some Ed Sheeran and then you can tell us the answer.
Yes, we can have a think about that one. You are listening to Radio Woking from the Woking Studios at the Winston Churchill School. We are joined by the Horsall Scouts and Guides ahead of tomorrow's Mayfair. Sophie, Jess, Rebecca and the two leaders, Ian and Sarah, with us in the studio.
Now, I think we're about to get an education because we're going to learn about badges.
Yeah, I'm just thinking the badges that I earned when I was in the Scouts.
Yeah, what did you
earn? I think I got an entertainer badge and a communication badge, I think.
That's why you ended up on radio.
Probably. But, I mean, we don't know exactly how many badges there are, but you know, Jess, tell me some of the badges. You're here in your uniform and you've
completed all the badges, so...
You've got a load of badges with you, so can you tell us some of these badges that you got?
Well, I've got a first aid level 3 that are different levels for some badges, so like camping and hiking, like night hikes.
Yep.
I am on level 20, which is the amount of times I've had to hike together, and skiing, like donutting. We've done some really, really good activities. Like, some of these aren't even badges, like, don't think there's a donutting one. So, like, yeah, pioneering, I've got a pioneer badge. Yeah.
Wow. As I said, you're going to run out of room on your uniform to sew them all on.
We did find out during the last record there's actually a sewing badge, so, you know.
Yeah. I think I remember when I was in the Scouts, I seem to remember ironing the scarf. What do you call the scarf? Yeah, there you go. So ironing that, learning how to use an iron. That's one of them.
Well, that's a skill you've taken into life.
Yeah, exactly. I can iron very well now. You know, exactly. I owe that to my scouting days. So there you go.
So that we heard about the scout badges, but we should now hear about the guide badges.
Yeah, so the guides earn badges as well. So talk to us a bit about that.
We've got like a set of badges and you need to get like... a shield shape to get bronze, silver or gold, and gold's the highest you can get and it's really hard to get, but you do lots of minutes and it's fun but also challenging at some points.
And how far have you got to?
I'm getting my silver badge pretty soon, I think.
So you've been doing really well then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how are you doing with the badges then, Rebecca?
I'm not as good as her because I only joined in September. We don't only get badges doing minutes, we get them for like other things.
Yeah.
For example, like a king's coronation, and then we got one for the queen's death.
Yes, I noticed that Jess is wearing a badge here that's been given to you remembering your patron, the queen, and that must make you feel very proud wearing that on your uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Really, really interesting sort of hearing about this. It's bringing back a lot of memories. I think lots of us do have memories of scouting and guiding. And, let's just sort of go through and, Jess, first of all, being in the Scouts, how do you think that's going to help you in your sort of future life as you sort of go through life? What sort of skills do you think you're going to learn that are going to help you?
You do learn a lot of skills, like, first aid. Like, you never know when you will need to do first aid. So, like, we always... practice doing the recovery position, bandages and all that, and like, yeah, so like you do learn a lot of skills, and you also learn like communication skills if you're like shy. Some people
gives you confidence.
Some people think like scouts and guides can help you step out of your comfort zone, because when I first started I was just a bit shy, but I did get that push from my leaders.
Okay. So they encourage you to come out of your comfort zone and, try new things. And through that, you're growing in confidence and that's going to help you kind of develop as a person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. It's really, really important. And what about you, Sophie and Rebecca? I mean, what sort of skills do you think you're learning through the guides that are going to help you in your...
We were learning first aid and by some dude and telling us what to do when you feel insecure, and it's just some like badges can really be helpful and some you won't probably do again, but
do you think there are skills you're learning that even if you don't realize it now you're probably going to be able to look back and go, actually that was really helpful?
Yeah, I think half of our badges do that and we have no idea.
We had like one time where we did a in guides where we did learn Morse code,
and we had to try and, like, with torches, and we had to try and guess what the other people were saying.
Yeah, it was really hard.
Yes, I can imagine it's a series of, like, you know, flashes and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's... I don't know when that would come in handy, but you never know. Morse code is a good thing to learn, I suppose, just to develop those skills.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, and it's something that I suppose you could, you know, sort of learn, and it's in there in your sort of in your head, and at some point it will come out and be useful as an adult, I'd imagine, in your life there. So well, so the Mayfair happening tomorrow, and let's bring the cheerleaders back in. How long does something, the Mayfair, a great event that's been running for 43 years, a real sort of date on the working calendar, but how long does it take to kind of put something like this together?
A long time.
I'd imagine it would
be. We've got an amazing committee of leaders and volunteers who organise it, plan the Mayfair, and then all our leaders and other volunteers get involved. It's a whole group event. There's not just one person. There's lots of us that are involved in getting it ready.
Yeah.
I mean, this weekend there's a core group of leaders who have just spent the whole weekend, and we'll, so us included, we'll be going back in a little while and putting out more tents and loading up the vans ready to get our equipment down there. So yeah, it's a huge
day. You've got to take a quick break and go, we're on the radio. Sorry, bye.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Gotta go for a minute.
There you go. That's how you get out, putting tents and things up. Come on the radio. And also going around in the community, handing out or selling programmes, and that's a big part of it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about getting ourselves out there, getting ourselves visible as well. You know, we always need more leaders. We always want more volunteers to, we can give as many children as possible the opportunity to go through Scouts and Guides. So yeah, it's great to get out there and sort of put a face, for people to put a face to Horsell Scouts and Guides and see who we are.
And how long does it take to put the programme together? Because I imagine there are a lot of people that want to be part of it, and some decisions that have to be made about...
Yeah. So, believe it or not, the planning for next year's Mayfair starts on the 2nd of May.
So, you get a few hours rest then, and then you're back.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. So, once again, there's the committee and the chairman of the committee, Mr. Richard Mackey, he works tirelessly to put this all together. He will start badgering people and start to think about, well, what do we want for next year, as I say, on Tuesday, the day after this one finishes, and tents are drying. Yeah. Richard is there.
And that's important, I suppose. It's fresh in everyone's mind. Everyone had gone to the Mayfair, had a great great time. And at that point, they're thinking, oh, yeah, maybe we could do something, get involved in the next year's one.
And then he rings up and goes, do you want to be part of it? And they're like, yeah. I mean, see the plan there.
So this is an event, 43 years. I imagine the event's kind of grown and changed a lot over the years as the organisation of Scouts and Guides has.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we try to keep it as a traditional fair. So all the stalls that we've got are very traditional. You know, we've got Splat the Rat, we've got Hook a Duck, we've got Coconut Shy, Smash the Crockery, so all your sort of traditional things. Yeah. We've got an added stall this year. We've got Photo Booth, so you can come along. We've got a life-size cutout of King
Charles. I think
they're
excited about you. You don't know this?
No. We've been keeping it secret from them. But yeah, so there's a photo booth, life-size cutout of King Charles. You can come and have your photo taken with the King. We've got some hats with Union Jacks. You can dress yourselves up if you want to.
They're now thinking about their decisions.
They're now planning their photo poses and everything. You can take it. And so 43 years this event's been running, every year apart from, you know, COVID. I'd imagine that must have been hard to not be able to run it that year.
Yeah, I think we had a break for 2 years, didn't
two years.
We?
Yeah.
Two
okay.
years we had off because, as you say, we couldn't get together in that time, but it was great to be back. Last year was our first year back properly since the pandemic. And
what was it like last year then, being back after the pandemic?
I was actually in bed with COVID on the day of the fair last year, so I didn't get it. But everybody else did, and they told me it was amazing.
It worked really well, and it was great to be back. And I think having that break where people missed it, the fact that it was back, it made it feel that little bit more special. And so we're just hoping that once again that can continue with that same feelings. As you say, it is a traditional fair. There is stuff for the grown-ups as well. We do have a real ale tent as well. So mums and dads, when you're coming down, you know, you can. There is the opportunity to sample some of Horsell's finest.
Yeah, Thurston Brewery have given us all the ales.
Very nice.
So we're very, very grateful to them for that.
That local brewery as well, so it's all about the community.
It is, and our barbecues are from, all the meat is provided by Prince and Sons, so again, it's a local butcher's.
It's a great community in Horsell, isn't it? I mean, the
it
village
really
itself,
is.
You've got all the independent businesses, you know, you've got so much going on, it's just... it's such a vibrant and lively community.
Definitely. The Horsell community are great when it comes to things like this. They love to get involved. So if you are out there and thinking, well, what can I do? Please get in touch with Horsell Scouts and Guides. We are always looking for extra help. You don't have to be a leader. You can come along and be a sectional assistant or something like that. So if you can only do a couple of hours a month, that it's still something. So if you are looking to get involved, please come speak to us at the fair. We have a recruitment tent. We'll have leaders there to actually tell you what's involved in with volunteering. So if you are interested, come along, speak to the guys on the recruitment tent, and they can give you some more information about it.
We'll find out more about all that and how people can get involved after we've done that thing called the travel job.
It's Radio Woking. Yeah, we are in the studio, a very packed Radio Woking studio, with Sophie, Jess, Rebecca from the Horsell Scouts and Guides, Ian and Sarah, leaders in the studio as well. And we're hearing about the Mayfair, which looks like a lot of fun. I'm particularly looking forward to what Dangerous Steve gets up to. It sounds dangerous.
It does sound very dangerous. I mean, fire-eating. And
if you're going there watching a fire-eating, don't go home and think, yeah, I'm going to do some fire-eating in the back garden, because that's probably not a good idea. No, I wouldn't recommend that. So let's talk a bit about COVID, a bit of lockdown. We talked a bit about sort of the Mayfair not being able to happen. But for you as scouts and guides, I mean, I know, Rebecca, you weren't sort of in the guides at that point. But Sophie and Jess, first of all, how was that experience? What's that experience like, not being able to go to the scout meetings? And
it kind of felt weird because I was used to like being in a big hall in a good and in like a massive environment, but like when COVID hit and then we had to do everything on Zoom, I think we had to kind of limit on what we did. So like the scouts, when we go onto the common, we absolutely love when we play like wide games, always, and it's always. Is Manhunt is our favourite.
And these are some things you can't do on Zoom. It's quite impossible to do a lot of these things on Zoom, isn't it? Yeah.
And you mentioned doing group cooking and stuff earlier. You can't do that on Zoom either.
Well, no, we did actually.
Did you?
Yeah, Scouts did cake in a mug.
Yeah, I think the guides did as well, yeah.
Yeah,
there were certain activities that
lent
themselves really well.
Pizza evening as well, where they made pizzas over Zoom.
So, did that involve, you know, frantically for you guys as leaders dropping parcels of ingredients and bits and pieces off? And
so for certain activities, yes, if it was a craft activity, then yeah, leaders were going around the night before or the week before, dropping off at people's houses so that everybody had the right equipment. If it was cooking, it tended to be you'd email the parents in advance to say, right, can you make sure you've got these things, you need this equipment available ready for the meeting.
Very much thinking on your feet, like straight away we're plunging into lockdown, you can't do things, you didn't get any warning, it's like, oh, we've got to just organise this. So must have been a bit of a kind of make it up as you go along kind of approach to it.
Yeah, I mean, leaders are very versatile, I think, aren't they? And we all kind of supported each other and shared our ideas so that everybody was able to do things.
Okay.
But yeah, you learnt skills, particularly like technology skills. You pick those up very quickly.
I think we're all experts on Zoom and appearing, you know, you're mute, you're upside down, you know, or the dog's barking in the background, you know, it's a strange new world. Sophie, for you, you know, for the guides, I mean, what was that COVID time like?
It was a bit hard because half the time you got disconnect and it was really annoying, and then your parents walked in on you and then your dog barked.
Yeah, when the doorbell goes.
Yeah, and then you just, it was like really annoying and you couldn't find any space to
And you're following an activity but then you glitch a bit so you miss a step. Ooh.
Yeah, that was annoying.
But I suppose it's something, a learning experience, and I bet it felt really great, didn't it, when you were able to meet face to face. I bet it felt like a real celebration being back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of things, we got Rebecca, who wasn't ace guide before.
No, and this is a really lovely story, and we mentioned before that, you know, the guys and scouts go around the community handing out, you know, selling programs and telling people about the Mayfair. So for last year's Mayfair, Rebecca, the Brownies were knocking on your door selling a program. So tell me what happened from that.
So I went to the door when I heard my mum talking to someone, and then it was the Brownies, and when they saw me, they said I should be either brownie or guy because I didn't know how old I was, obviously. So I decided it seemed like fun and I would do it. And I joined in September and I really enjoyed it ever since.
Oh, wow. So from that interaction, and this is so important, you know, you're not only selling programmes and raising awareness, Sarah, of the Mayfair, but also, you know, you're, as you said, putting that visual presence of the Scouts and the Guys on people's doorsteps, and that may inspire someone like, you know, Rebecca there just to join and get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic that she joined that way. We're really pleased to have her. She's been a great guide. But it's also, you know, it's about trying to recruit adults as well, as I think we've already said. You know, we are short on leaders at the moment. We always need volunteers. And like Ian said, you know, you don't have to be a leader in a meeting. You can come along and do other things. We need people's support to help run the accounts for the units. There's other things they can do as well, isn't there? Like just support the leaders. We have unit helpers who just come away, who are part-time and do things like they come away when we go on camps and residentials, because you need more people for those things to obviously run as well.
So what particular qualities or skills are you looking for potential volunteers?
I suppose it's a case of get in touch and see what you can offer, and you'll find something that can sort of fit that person, I suppose.
The main thing that I would say to anyone who's looking to volunteer, the main thing I would say they would need is enthusiasm. Be passionate about something. Not all scout and guide leaders have a scout and guide leading background. I was never a cub. I was never anything like that. I've got a military background, so when I left the military, people naturally thought I'd go to army cadets, and no, I decided to go down the scouting route. And just have a passion about something. You know, if you think you can pass on a skill such as computing and things like that, we can integrate that into what the scouts and the guides are learning. So be enthusiastic. That's the big thing.
Yes.
You've got to have, because you pass that on when you're teaching. If you're enthusiastic about something and you're instructing and showing scouts and guides, they pick up on that. That could then get them enthusiastic about it as well. And who knows, that could then drive their career on from that.
And Sarah, how did you become involved as a leader? How did that
So I joined the movement when I was a guide. So I started at 10. So
you've come through the ranks.
So then. I've come through the ranks a little bit. I stopped when I went away to university. And then when I moved to Surrey for my job, I then got back involved again. So, yeah, so I've been involved in Horsell for quite a while.
Brilliant.
Now.
And which means you've done quite a few Mayfairs then.
We've done a lot of Mayfairs.
And I think as a volunteer, and there's a big push with the coronation next weekend, the big help out. So maybe, you know, people thinking of doing some volunteering and getting involved on the back of that. But as a volunteer, I think there's so many skills that you can learn. People go in and think, I'm going to help an organisation as a volunteer, but actually the organisation can actually give you skills and teach you things, and you know, life skills and maybe skills for future employment and things like that as well.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think it's a great thing, and we've got quite a few leaders in Horsell who've been there for quite a long time now, and I think that just shows that they get something out of it as well. It's not just about get what you can give to the children. You know, we as the adults go and do activities as well. So when the girls are abseiling, you know, the unit leaders will join in with the abseiling. If we're kayaking, we're all kayaking. We've taken girls to Iceland. We've been glacier hiking. You know, there's lots of fun things that leaders get out of it as well. It's not just the children too.
But if we go back round to the Mayfair, I know there are some thank yous to sponsors and things you want to do, so...
There are indeed. So the three main sponsors for the Grand Mayfair, we'd like to say a big thank you to Seymour's of Horsell, Trident Honda and Househead School. They're the three main sponsors, so thank you very much them. They front quite a bit for us, and all of that money raised helps us do things for the scouts and guides.
And Sophie's got a programme open. Are you just having a look, or have you got something you want to
read it? Go.
So I think you're looking at our raffles, much as lots of businesses, local businesses, and people in the community have all contributed to the raffle as well. Yeah, so we're really grateful.
A big thank you to all the people that have contributed to the raffle too. And I have to say a big thank you to our guests, because you're letting me play one of my favourite show tunes. Yes. But what you don't know about me is I love a show tune.
I love a show tune as well.
And we don't play them very often.
Yeah, Defying Gravity. Why are we asking for this then? What's the...
It's just a good song.
It's good. It's my favourite song.
Oh, there you go. That's a good enough reason, I think.
Wicked is my favourite musical.
Yeah, well, thank you to all of you for joining us this morning. Unfortunately, you may now have to go back and help out with tents and things, but, you know, enjoy the rest of your Sunday and good luck with tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. And just quickly, if we want to get in touch with you at the Horse Horse Council, guys, how do we do that?
So you can do it various ways. As far as guiding's concerned, you can either go onto the Girl Guiding website itself, which is girlguiding.org, she says, .uk. Yes, it is. Or you can email us at horsellguides@yahoo.co.uk. Brilliant. As far as scouting is concerned, I'm going to look at Ian.
You're absolutely rubbish when it comes to remembering names and addresses of anything. So the best thing you can do is, if you want to get in touch and find out a little bit more about it, if you email our group scout leader at gsl@horsellscouts.org.uk.
Brilliant. There you go. He remembered.
There you go.
He
remembered that. Excellent. Thank you for coming down. It's been really lovely to see you. Good luck for the Mayfair. And yeah, we'll look forward to that great event tomorrow.
This is Radio Woking.